Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Both of our guests this final afternoon of April 2018 run television networks. In Manuel Boob's case, it's Azteca America, one of the top Spanish language services. Some new series are on the way, along with a 24/7 novela network. Boob joins me next from Miami. Steve Shipman presides over Cooper Media, now with two multicast services available nationally, the Justice Network and newcomer Quest. You'll hear Shipman later this hour from the nation's capital. Also ahead, Shania Twain arrives in USA, Daytime Emmy Award Roundup, and this week's classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Son Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and presided on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the 2018 New York Television Festival this summer, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. A good Monday afternoon to you and all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. And more than that, welcome to those of you just joining us on Spreaker, the popular home of internet radio programming and podcasting. And for the very first time, we and other Blog Talk Radio shows are coming your way live. And all you have to do to get us live is go to Spreaker.com, type in Tomorrow Be Televised with the search bar, click, and you are right along with us. We're delighted to have you aboard. We have some great guests coming your way, along with the rest of our Blog Talk Radio crew this coming hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. All you have to do, pick up the phone, use your voice, and dial in at this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe, either on Blog Talk Radio or on Spreaker. And we have a chat room, so if you're shy about using the phone, no problem. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/televised, our homepage. Go to our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, and get in as guest 588 is doing right now. And while the program is on the air, you can connect up with it by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. And for those of you that are checking us out for the first time on Spreaker, I want to let you know that Tomorrow Be Televised has been on the air now for 10.5 years. We are about to go into our ninth year on Blog Talk Radio. It's a program all about the world of television, where the medium is at and where it's going. And when you catch our program live or on replay, you'll hear great guests who make the medium happen, and you'll have an opportunity every episode to interact with them and us by using the phone or using our chat room. Manuel Boob from Azteca America joins us live from Miami after these news notes. Daytime Emmy Awards hit Los Angeles last night, number 45 in that long-running series. And when the ceremony ended, Days of Our Lives picked up the Best Drama Hour, The Price is Right earned Best Game Show, and the Talk Show Awards were given out to The Talk and The Dr. Oz Show. Judge Mathis won in the Legal Courtroom category. Other program winners included Good Morning America, Entertainment Tonight, Despierta America, and A Chef's Life. At a separate Emmy ceremony Friday night, Dave's music director D. Brent Nelson, who was on his program last Friday, lost his bid for a third consecutive Emmy win for Music Score. That award went to The Bold and The Beautiful. Music superstar Shania Twain will host Real Country at the New Talent Showcase running on USA Network this fall. Twain and co-host Jake Owen will handpick the performers for each episode, then stage a grand finale to determine a new breakout country act. Twain also will be one of Real Country's executive producers. Filming will originate in Nashville and begin in a few weeks. A new YouTube Red Commission series will reunite the production team behind Happy Endings, the critically lauded comedy that ran on ABC from 2011 to 2013. Adam Pally will star in this currently untitled project, Rappers and Their Crews on the Road, and YouTube Red will anticipate a series beginning in 2019. And finally, Bruce Miller, The Handmaid's Tale's Emmy-winning adapter and executive producer, will develop new content for both Hulu and MGM Television, which makes The Handmaid's Tale under a new multi-year arrangement. That was announced in the last 90 minutes. And that is news notes for today. My first guest is the president of Azteca America, one of the top Spanish language networks in the country. They've got some new programming coming up for the rest of this year and beyond, and they also will have soon a new 24/7 network. Joining us live in an internet radio exclusive from Miami, President Manuel Boob. Manuel, welcome back.
Hey, hello. It's good to hear you again. Good to be here again. I love your energy, so let's get started.
You got it, Manuel. Where is Ascenco America at? I understand that you have new management and new ownership. What are the owners like, and how will that impact your channel?
Sure. Let me. You know what? Let me take one step back for the benefit of your listeners that are not up to date on the ownership structure. Back in the middle of last year, when we were still part of TV Azteca Mexico, we knew that we needed to really do something to get more scale, to improve our distribution, and to really, you know, get us to the next level in terms of being able to get to more homes and to really improve our footprint. We started, you know, talking and discussing with potential partners. And then later in the year, in November, TV Azteca and HC2 announced the acquisition of Azteca America. So HC2, which is a diversified publicly traded company based in New York, owned and founded by its chairman and CEO, Phil Falcone, are now the owners of Azteca America. The deal included acquiring the 100% of the network, as well as the operator stations and the management group. So we have, you know, the same management groups remained, and the acquisition really represents a great improvement for Azteca America by having, you know, an owner here in the U.S. committed to broadcast. And I'll get to that in a minute, as well as the access to TV Azteca programming in Mexico. Perhaps one of the most important fundamentals of the deal was that we enter into a programming licensing agreement between Azteca America and HC2, which secures the access of Azteca America to TV Azteca for the next 7 years. So, you know, we're now independently owned from TV Azteca, but still have the same name, the same logo, and basically the same programming that we had when we were part of TV Azteca. So for the viewer, we remain, you know, the reliable and the reliable source of entertainment and information that we were. But we are, you know, much more confident than ever in our business model, because we now have a U.S. partner that is well funded and that is a company that has made broadcast television a priority. So that's in a nutshell what has happened in the last few months. I don't know if you have any questions about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we get to what Azteca is doing with programming wise this year, how are you currently seeing the Spanish language landscape? It seems that we are seeing more programming produced in the United States. We're seeing sort of a move away from the classic telenovela to shorter dramatic shows, weekly dramatic shows, shows that maybe rather than 120 episodes, 60 or 90 programs are taking some more dramatic current rip from the headlines themes, programs that are, and in your case, in the last couple of years, you've sort of zagged where other networks like Univision, Telemundo, also Spanish language, have zigged, whether it is running a game show hour at 7 o'clock, a news magazine hour at 9 o'clock. How do you see the current Spanish language landscape and your network's role in it?
Well, I mean, look, the trends that we're seeing in the Spanish language market are not very different from the ones that we're seeing in the general market. And with that, I mean, you know, we're competing with more and more, let's say, devices, but in reality, it's more than devices. It's just different ways to get the entertainment at home. So basically, we have more competition. Therefore, there is more content available. Therefore, it's harder to get the audience to commit for longer periods of time. So the telenovela was great when the options were fewer, and they would run for longer times because, again, it was easier to capture their attention, and economically it was a great model. But as audiences are finding different ways to get their content, we all have to get more competitive in grabbing that attention. And again, the attention span is shorter, so everybody is transitioning to shorter series, as well as to perhaps more edgy plots. That's how I see it. Now, I believe that there's still, you know, very good opportunities for broadcast television. Like you said, our programming schedule right now is comprised of a game show at 7, which is, you know, it's easy in and out. You don't have to commit for an entire season. You can come in, watch one game today, and maybe you don't watch tomorrow, but then you come back on Wednesday. And it's family hour, which is not very common in Spanish language television, to be honest with you. And then at 8, we have Desafío, which is an adventure reality show, which adventure reality has been very successful for us. And you will probably start seeing some of the competitors, the bigger competitors, already doing it. And then Unimas already has an adventure reality at night. And I've read that Telemundo is also going to do a similar show. So, you know, I'm very pleased with how Desafío and previously La Isla were performing for us. And then at 9 we have our news magazine, which is Al Extremo, and it's been very successful for the last 8 years or so.
Manuel Abud is the president of Seca America. It's the popular Spanish language network available on broadcast stations coast to coast. And very soon they're going to be launching a second network dealing with novelas. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Manuel joins us live from Miami, Florida this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Appelbaum with you live from up above the East Coast in Nueva York, 51 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you aboard on this Monday afternoon, last one of April 2018, right here on Blog Talk Radio, and for the very first time on Spreaker. So wherever you're hearing us, get involved with our program. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This coming Friday, our next episode will come to you 2 hours earlier than normal. It will be on at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, special time. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and we'll tell you through Facebook and Twitter who our guests will be at that time. And then a week from today, among our guests, we'll have the creators and showrunners of Cobra Kai, the brand-new YouTube-red series based on the Karate Kid movies. We'll have creators and showrunners Josh Head, Joe Horowitz, and Hayden Schlossberg from Cobra Kai premiering next month on YouTube Red. That's coming up a week from today, exclusively right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Manuel, at last year's Upfront, you announced a very ambitious series called The Wall, a series that would sort of be ripped from the headlines, dealing with people on all sides of the immigration issue. It would be filmed or taped along the U.S.-Mexican border. It would have an anthology type of format. Where does that project stand?
Well, I mean, I think you hit it on the nail when you said that we announced a very ambitious project. You know, it was probably way too ambitious. We went into this transition with the new ownership, and then also Telemundo announced later than us another similar show. They put it on the air, and honestly, it didn't perform that well. So I decided to put it on hold. We still have the show. I have most of the episodes written up. We even started the casting when we put it on hold. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm not killing it completely, but I have it on hold right now. I didn't think it was the right time to come right after the Telemundo show. So we might take a second look at it later in the year.
Well, one new series that you're going to be bringing on the schedule later this year is a show that is quite unique. It's a reality show that uses user-generated content submitted by viewers called Lights, in English, Lights, Phone, Action. How does that
Correct.
Go?
Well, that's a format that we're in the process of co-developing with an external producer. They already tried in Colombia. I understand it did very well. We have it right now in front of a couple of sponsors. We're excited about it because it's a good combination of online, on television. It has a lot of, you know, viewer participation, like you said. And we're kind of finalizing the rules of the competition, actually. We're leaving it We're keeping it very open because we want the you know, the sponsors and the partners to really have some input there. So we're excited about the show. More details to come on that. But like I said, it's a format that is that has already been on the air somewhere else, and we're excited about it. And it's been very well received by the advertisers, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Another firm that we might say in Spanish language reality or unscripted programming is a program that combines what some might see at the beginning as sort of opposite ends, if you will, sports, specifically boxing, and music. You're doing a program called, in Espanol, El Ritmo de Boxing, the rhythm of boxing, and it combines both boxers and music. And the host, I understand, is the famous former world champion in boxing, one of the classic names, Roberto Duran.
Yeah, that's you're right. I mean, that's a very unique concept. Still more fine-tuning, working on that. I mean, at the end of the day, you think about it, there's, you know, music is very dear to the hearts of the Latino population. So, you know, hey, boxers are not separated from emotions and romance and everything that music entails, right? So we thought it would be a great format to explode, and again, it's another one that has been very well received by the advertisers, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Speaking of music, one interesting move into dramatic programming, whether in novella form or weekly form the last couple of years, have been bio or musical dramas, whether it's been Telemundo's efforts with Cecilia Cruz. They just launched one a couple of weeks ago with Luis Miguel. They've got one coming up on Nicky Jam. There's El Vato on Universo, which deals with a Mexican regional band in Los Angeles and how they make out. I've seen the show. I think it's quite good. It's now in its second season, going to its third season, I believe, later this year. Have you thought about adapting that format in some way on a future program?
I have a couple of projects in front of me right now. I mean, one obviously is La Academia, right? La Academia, which is a music, you know, contest. It's going to relaunch in Mexico, the return of La Academia. So very likely we're going to have that on the air, you know, as soon as next month. But then I have another project that has been pitched, and I'm actually exploring it in combination with a U.S. network, which is kind of what you're describing, but with a fictitious star. So it's kind of a drama that involves music, and it has a fictitious star singer, and you know, I'm looking at it very closely, and maybe we'll come up with something like that in the next couple of months.
Is there a particular new series that you either announced or not announced that you're very excited about launching this year?
That we have not announced?
Either you've announced it or not, but something that you're very, very excited about, very passionate about, that you think is going to be something really special.
Well, I'm very excited about having Penelope Menchaca back on Spanish language television. Penelope, as you probably know, was the host of 12 Corazones in Telemundo. She did over 3,000 shows of 12 Corazones, which was a dating show with a tweak. I mean, it was, you know, a game show and a dating show combined around the Zodiac. And it was very successful at Telemundo. In fact, I launched that show at Channel 22 in Los Angeles probably 20 years ago or so. No, 15 years ago. And then Telemundo picked it. So anyway, so Penelope is a very popular personality in Spanish language, Mexican Angelina, and she's now part of the Azteca roster, and we are looking at developing another game show with her. It's still in the works, so I cannot tell you what the final, you know, title of the show is going to be, but I can tell you that I'm very excited about that show, and we're in the final steps of securing the rights and the format, so we might be able to launch that in the next couple of months, even though I was not able to announce the actual show in the upfront. I'm very excited about that because of her and because of it's right in line with our strategy of game shows and family entertainment. So that's one that I'm very excited. I'm also excited about the putting As Corazon, AZ Corazon, which is a 24/7 OTT novella network that we're now going to take over the air using the kind of the open slots, if I may, on all these, you know, 100-and-something stations that that HC2 now owns. So it's going to be a good testament and a good test of our ability to launch overnight a broadcast television network.
So that will be running as a multicast service available both broadcast and cable, broadcast on digital subcarriers around the country and also on cable systems, because most times these multicast networks get both carriage.
Exactly. I don't know how much real cable carriage we're going to get, but for sure over the air, it's going to be substantial.
Attack on America, you can find it on many, many TV stations around the country, one of the top Spanish-language networks in the U.S. of A. And we've got the president of the network, Manel Abu, joining us live from Miami. This half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Simon Appelman with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on Blog Talk Radio, also presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And for the very first time now on a regular basis at Spreaker, the very popular website devoted to internet radio and podcast form. If you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, but guest 588 is in the room. A week from Friday on our program, that's May 11th, we got a good one for you. First, from Oprah Winfrey Network's popular unscripted series, Black Love, executive producers of the White Team, Tommy and Katie Oliver. And then, BattleBots is back. The very popular competition of robots in that sort of UFC-like arena is coming back this month, on Discovery Channel and Science Channel, simulcast on both channels. And we will have the executive producer of BattleBots in an interview, Kim Gutteridge. That's Black Love and BattleBots, a week from Friday, May 11th, right here, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We've also seen in recent years, Manuel, that, for example, Univision can now co-produce shows with Netflix. And now that you have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and other such services, has they thought about perhaps working with the likes of a Netflix or Hulu or an Amazon on a co-production of a scripted or unscripted show? Yeah, Manuel, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I lost you on the last part. I didn't hear the last part of the question.
I was mentioning that, for example, the last couple of years we've seen Univision collaborate with Netflix on a television series like El Chapo, which is now in its about to go to its third and final season there. And what happens is Univision gets the show first, Netflix gets it later for international distribution. And I'm wondering whether you see working with a service like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or CBS All Access maybe a possibility to
put
a new show that way.
Oh, absolutely, I wouldn't discard it. I mean, I just mentioned to you that I have a project in front of me right now with, co-producing with a U.S. network where they will, do the English version, general market version, and I will do the Hispanic version. We also have, TV Azteca launch a production company for premier content called Dopamine, in Mexico, in which they're going to be co-producing and doing some projects for Netflix, for example, and we might take second windows. I think what you're going to be seeing is more and more the windows structure that you see in future films for television. I wouldn't discard seeing that on series. And I would definitely be open at co-production where the economics make sense.
By the way, when will AZ Corazon, the novella channel, launch? Is it going to be this summer, this fall?
It'll be in the fall. It'll be in the fall. And again, the channel already exists over the OTT, and we're going to be taking it broadcast in the fall.
Let's do some speculating before you go, Manuel. We know that more and more Latinos are watching television through smart television sets or connected TV sets and connected TV devices like Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Apple TV, and so on and so forth, both Spanish and English language programming. The usage is growing. More Latinos are going this route. And more of these sets also are being built with artificial intelligence, where you can command the set with your voice. How do you think that combination of smart sets and devices and artificial intelligence built into that product, how do you think that will impact where Spanish language television goes?
Yeah, I agree with you. There's no way in denying that. That's a reality. It is happening. I would disagree on the transition to English, because at the end of the day, a lot of our audience speaks Spanish by choice, and then it becomes a matter of giving them the relevant content. How it gets distributed, I mean, honestly, more and more devices are better in terms of having better ways to reach the consumer. The challenge here is to find the right content that connects emotionally with the audience, quite frankly, regardless of language.
And by the way, that's in any language, and certainly Spanish language television is more popular than ever before with all the networks out there, yours included. And I think that, certainly personal thought, I think that both this combination of smart TV sets and artificial intelligence is going to pave the way for some very exciting new avenues for Spanish language television, including interactive advertising, maybe interactive merchandising, and maybe even the idea of Latinos choosing the plot line or the direction of a particular program while the show's on the air.
I agree with you, and let's not discard, and that's a theme for a completely, you know, for a full show, the revolution that will the new broadcast platform will bring, the ATSC 3.0, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but it will basically enable the broadcast television stations to transmit substantially more data and capacity to do 4K and addressability to mobile phones, and that's something that we will be seeing in the next, you know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 years.
And let's not forget also ATSC 3.0, which is the data transmission process that could get more multicast channels and more involvement of smart TV sets and devices involved. And it's interesting that Phoenix, which is a major Spanish language market, is one of the first cities around the country that is testing that. We're going to keep an eye on that as we go forward. If you want more details about Azteca America and its service, which runs 24/7 on broadcast stations coast to coast, here's where you go online, AztecaAmerica.com. It's Azteca, A-Z-T-C-A, America.com. And once again, the new available channel, AZ Corazon, will appear this fall on multicast signals around the country. In some cases, it'll run on a broadcast station. In some cases, broadcast and cable co-distribution. Manuel Abud, the president of Azteca America, great to have you back on the program. Good luck with the way your network and new network will be going this year, and let's have you back on soon. It's always a pleasure.
Simon, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Have a good one.
You are welcome. You got it. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Manuel Abud, the president of Azteca America, joining us live from Miami. More tomorrow, televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com, who earlier today recommitted themselves to be proud development partners of the annual New York Television Festival that will be taking place this summer here in the Big Apple. A couple of years ago, a journalist by the name of Michelle McNamara put together a book about a true crime that was one of the biggest in any part of the country, the Golden State Killer. It was called I'll Be Gone in the Dark. And as some of you, I'm sure many of you know, someone who is now suspected of being that person was arrested by police recently. Unfortunately, McNamara passed away and before that could happen. But now you can get that book called I'll Be Gone in the Dark in audio form through Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, including I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. At Audible, listening is the new reading. And all you have to do is find out for yourself, one try, and I have to think you'll believe that Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. So once again, for that free audio book, 1 month trial, great customer service, everything in the world of audio for you, audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up next, our competition question of the week. Will we get our third weekly winner in a row? We'll let you know, and we've got a prize for the person who ends up in that role. But first, One of the new masters of multicast television will join us, Pete Shipman, the president and chief executive of Cooper Media, the folks behind Justice Network, and a brand new network that started recently through stations around the country, including Univision stations, called Quest. He will join us live at the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And as of today, we're also on Spreaker.com, your home for outstanding internet radio and podcast programming. And we're also presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. On Blog Talk Radio, check out The Palmer Persuasion. It's a special live from Orlando's International Film Festival tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best feature available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Modern Week Televised, our last episode of April 2018. And once again, welcome to those of you joining us on Spreaker.com for the very first time. Thanks for tuning into the promo about television, 51 degrees at the top of the hour. Another great guest coming away this half hour. So get involved with the program. All you have to do is interact by using the phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Guest 588 is already in the room. Our next guest, like our first one, also runs television services, in this case, a pair of multicast channels. Those are services that run both on the digital subcarrier of broadcast stations and also available as a cable channel as well through must carry. In this case, it's a project called Cooper Media, and it's a service that is now running two networks on the air. One that started a couple years ago is called Justice Network, and the second, which just started a few weeks ago, is called Quest. And among the station groups that are carrying the service in multicast fashion, Tegna and Univision. Joining us live from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, the chief executive of the venture, Steve Shipman. Steve, good to have you back.
Simon, great to hear your voice. And I, as your last guest said, love your energy. I've known you a long time, and pleasure to be your guest today.
Pleasure's mine and all of our listeners, too. It's great to have you back, Steve. And first of all, before we get to Quest, update us on Justice Network and how that's doing.
So Justice Network, as you had pointed out to your listeners, was formed in January of 2015. We are funded and primarily owned by a subholding company called Cooper Media, owned by Cooper Holdings, founded by an entrepreneur named Lonnie Cooper based in Atlanta, Georgia. We have a staff there in Atlanta that leverages all the resources of Cooper Holdings. We are a fully mature network in that we are now in almost 75% of homes and growing. We have major distribution deals, as you had pointed out, with Tegna, Univision, but also Nexstar, Hearst, Gray Broadcasting, and a bunch of other sort of smaller broadcasters. And I think we're just only getting started, despite the fact that we're in 75%. I think what makes the Justice Network a very unique television service, and I'm not even going to say multicast or broadcast or cable, but what makes us really unique, I mean, we're like most networks, we have a clear mission and branding of focusing on crime, mystery, and investigation. That is what we are, like some other networks that have been successful across that genre. But what makes us truly unique and special is that we have a societal element above and beyond trying to put on very engaging, entertaining programming, which is really our first mission because it's why we're in business. But we have this societal mission that actually devotes 90 seconds of interstitial programming every hour on the hour, 365 days a year. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. I'd like your listeners to think about that. Imagine a linear television network devoting 90 seconds every hour of every day of every year to do three things. One, to go after most wanted fugitives. Two, to identify missing kids. And three, to provide national safety tips to make American families safer. And how do we do this? We actually invest above and beyond taking the opportunity cost of 90 seconds of advertising time. We actually put a local server in the 70 to 80 markets we're in, and we actually localize the most wanted fugitives and missing children, partnering with the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, founded by John Walsh and his family through an act of Ronald Reagan in the mid-'80s called the Adam Walsh Act. And we also partner with the FBI, Secret Service, and U.S. Marshals Services to identify most wanted fugitives, not only nationally, but in each of the local markets that we are in. We then put those fugitives' faces on the air and have John Walsh and other law enforcement ask our viewers to identify these fugitives if they've seen them and the call in the 800 line, and or if they've seen that missing child, partnering with the Center for Missing and Exploited Children and having that go right to their hotline. And I'm happy to report that we've just been on the air for about 3 years and 4 months. We have apprehended and brought to justice 115 fugitives, and you heard me right, 115 fugitives that appeared in a justice network have been apprehended, and we have returned 110 missing children and returned them back to their families that appeared in our network. So I'm just saying that, yes, we are a for-profit network, but we're also doing God's work. We've invested some inventory, but we have made a major impact. And I think not only has it exceeded my expectations, I think our entire management team, I think even our broadcast partners, and I really think it's a very unique and differentiating aspect that makes the Justice Network such a special linear television service.
Steve, what makes those last two stats you just shared so remarkable, really remarkable, is that in order for that to happen, people really have had to wind their way, discover your service, and to
exactly.
go through all the competition that's out there, broadcast and cable and multicast and Netflix and Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to get to your network and get those spots and respond to them. That is truly a pair of remarkable statistics, remarkable results.
You know, thank you. I'll tell you, I mean, obviously, as CEO, my job is to deliver a return for the investors, and I'm certainly I spend every minute of every day thinking about that. But I think that doing this societal piece shows that you can be a for-profit service and do well and do right by the communities in which you serve, and they don't have to be mutually exclusive. Yes, is there some opportunity cost of revenue that we might be giving up? A little bit, not ridiculous, a little bit. But I think the impact that we're making in the communities we have, and really what many people don't realize is that when multicast networks were essentially granted by the FCC, forcing broadcasters to go from what were analog signals about 8 years ago to digital signals, it created these .2, .3, .4 subchannels depending on the bandwidth of any one given station in local markets. And one of the things the FCC asked these broadcasters to do is use that spectrum for the public good. So things like local weather channels or traffic channels or some other ways to sort of do public good. And that was one of our inspirations, that if we're going to be a network leveraging that spectrum, let's find a way to do something good and really create a unique element. And if we decide to do a channel focusing on crime, mystery, investigation, which Simon, you know, and many of your listeners know, is probably one of the hotter areas of television content, both on the drama and factual entertainment side, then let's do something from a societal standpoint that sort of links to that. And, you know, married to what I just shared with you about our results, when we decided that we wanted to make that investment, we decided to triple down and say, boy, what would be really cool that most networks really don't do anymore is have a national spokesperson, someone who could actually represent the network, be a voice, a face of the network, like almost as if we were a consumer brand, a packaged goods brand. And, you know, through my relationships that I've had over the years with John Walsh and his family running National Geographic Channel, he used to film in our studio a bunch, and we had met several times. I reached out to his people, and he actually films and spends a lot of time in Washington, D.C., where I actually live. And I reached out to him and told him about our idea, our societal initiative idea. And 2 weeks later, we were having dinner. We were discussing it, and he loved the fugitive idea. And it was actually his idea that said, hey, you know what? I love the fugitive idea, but I would really love you to do this also for missing kids. And with that dinner conversation, when I agreed to do that for him and working with the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, we had an agreement. He said, I'm in. I love this. He was also doing work at the time for CNN, and we sort of carved out what he was doing for us. And so aside from the societal initiative I just shared with you and your listeners, we also have a unique thing in that we have actually a very well-known spokesperson who defines what the Justice Network is all about. And not only do we have John Walsh, we actually have his son, Callahan Walsh, who's a senior executive at the Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And it's a father and son duo. And they come to Atlanta on a quarterly basis to do interstitials and all sorts of things for our network to really support what we're doing and, again, make that difference in making America safer.
You're hearing Steve Shiffman. He is the chief executive of Cooper Media, who runs currently two multicast channels around the country. You're hearing about one of them right now, Justice Network, and shortly you'll hear about the other one that just launched a few weeks ago, Quest, dealing with human adventure and history as well. Steve joins us live from Washington, D.C. this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Appel with you live from York, up the east coast of it, 51 degrees at the top of the hour. We welcome you to the Promo About Television, now being carried live on Blog Talk Radio and on Spreaker. And if you have a question or comment for Steve, bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Appel 04 by name. Coming up later this half hour, catastrophe question of the week. We're going for our third weekly winner in a row, and if you are first with the correct answer, you will win the showrunner, the Insider's Guide to Successful TV Production, by famed executive producer of Ironside and Chips fame, Fife Chermak, was on this program last year. Remember, Friday, our next episode, we come your way 2 hours earlier than normal. That's going to be 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Univision is having a special press briefing here in New York. Any news that comes out of that, we'll bring it to you on the program. Also, the night before, YouTube is doing their annual big brand cast for the first time at Radio City Music Hall. If anything comes out of that event, we'll bring it to you also. And we'll announce our guests, by the way. We are working on some possibilities as the week goes on through Facebook and through Twitter. Once again, next episode tomorrow will be televised Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Let's talk about Quest. You've been on the air for a few weeks with that. How's it going?
Well, I'll tell you, Quest has been a joy to work on. Quest launched in late January of this year, so we've had, I guess we're almost 3 months in now, almost to the day. And as you had pointed out a moment ago, Quest is all about focusing on the natural world, science, history, adventure. We have some amazing programs like Auction Kings, IRT Deadliest Roads, Most Daring, the Modern Marvels franchise, which is just, it's an incredible number of hours on there, Swamp Loggers, Life After People, Dogfights. So things in the military, science, what would the world be without people? And really, you know, what I love about this channel, and I think it's very unique within the DigiNet space, is that it really sort of celebrates the natural world. It actually entertains and informs, and there really isn't anything like it. A lot of the networks in our competitive space within the DigiNets and sort of the free over-the-air channels tend to be more sort of oldie, classic, old movies, older television series like Bonanza and I Love Lucy. And these are modern, informative, entertaining, thought-provoking shows produced by a number of different outlets all over the world, I might add. And we are aggregating this into this sort of Quest concept. And we're very excited. We're very excited because it's a unique proposition. And we're all about, at Cooper Media, taking ideas, creating clear branding elements of what they are, and having viewers have a real understanding that when they come to our channel, our slot, they know they're going to get a show in a broadly defined area across a genre or a series of genres, and there's an expectation that it's like a promise, a true brand, no different than like, you know, going to like the Weather Channel or the Food Network, or there's a clear branding purpose, and that's what we've tried to do not only with Quest but also with Justice, as we've talked about.
Now that you have a parent company that is running both channels with you, what are you doing in terms of original programming development to further differentiate your service from others out there in the crime investigation arena when it comes to Justice and the human adventure arena when it comes to Quest.
So on Justice, we actually have done some original programming and co-productions with shows like Inside the Mind of a Serial Killer and Killing Spree. These were shows, and John Ford, who many of your viewers may know of, who is the former head of Discovery Channel, senior executive at Discovery, launched ID, was actually worked with me at National Geographic Channel. He actually is our head of content at both Justice and Quest, and he actually identifies these sort of co-production deals through different producers. So these are originals for U.S. launch on our channel. So we've already done that, Simon, with respect to Justice, that's now a little over 3 years old. We selectively find opportunities. You know, one of the things that your viewers may or may not know, unlike a cable channel, a free over-the-air multicast channel is a single revenue stream of ad sales only, as opposed to getting an affiliate sub fee, as you know, cable channels do. And in fact, quite the contrary, a multicast network not only doesn't get paid for distribution, it actually has to pay for distribution. So therefore, how aggressive one can get, even as you grow, you have to be more modest, and you can't do, you know, thousands or hundreds of hours of original programming because the P&L can't support that. But that doesn't mean you can't do any, and as I've just pointed out, we have already done that. And the other thing we do to differentiate, as I had pointed out, are these sort of the societal piece on Justice and these interstitials about safety tips, which, by the way, is original programming we do every hour on the hour with a 30-second interstitial that we produce in Atlanta, and that's original programming 24/7. So, again, not, you know, 200 hours of original programming, but we're building on that. Now, Quest is, as I said, 3 months old. We are just getting started. We are in the process of considering, as the channel grows and it gets a bigger revenue base, to do co-productions not too dissimilar to Justice, and evaluate whether or not there's certain things that we're doing with Justice and sort of giving it even more identity through either on-air people or through unique partnerships that really sort of reinforces Quest and its mission to sort of celebrate the natural world.
Do you see Quest doing a project similar to Justice Network in terms of an insert on the hour, whether it's dealing with the environment or climate change or human exploration in general?
Yeah, so we are having those conversations, Simon. We are considering some options. We elected not to launch the network with one of those things in hand. We wanted to just kind of get started and get it off and running. But now that we are off and running, we are having several conversations with a bunch of different organizations and individuals to see if something makes sense that would create value for that organization, where they see the value that Quest can bring. But at the same time, we see the value through an association of an organization that really is sort of a bullseye of what we want Quest to be in our viewers' eyes. Not too dissimilar to how John Walsh is a bullseye and his entire family is to what the mission of Justice is all about.
Justice Network and Quest, two networks that are available coast to coast in different ways. In some markets, it's available as a broadcast station outlet on a digital subcarrier television station. In some markets, it's on cable through must carry, and in some, it's on both broadcast and cable. And we are speaking with Steve Schiffman. He is the chief executive of Cooper Media, the company that runs both Justice Network and Quest coast to coast. He's going to start from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, right here this afternoon on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, also available on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and for the first time, available on Spreaker.com. If you're catching us live on Spreaker, we thank you for tuning us in. We know the Blog Talk Radio shows will now be appearing on Spreaker on a regular basis, so we hope you make us a regular habit and join in live by interacting with our guests. Just ring in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, if you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And in terms of our podcast, you can also go, starting today, to Spreaker's Podcast Radio app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices in a variety of ways. All you have to do is go to that radio app, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, and click it, and then you're aboard. Same thing with the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Go to iHeartRadio.com, click the show title in the search bar, and you have our show anytime, you like. Steve, where do you see this whole multicast programming genre go, especially in light of ATSC 3.0 that we mentioned in the last segment, Manil Bude of A Sect America? It's now being tested in Phoenix, Arizona, some other places around the country. And one of the things that advocates of ATSC 3.0 say is this is going to be a way to dramatically expand how many multicast channels you have in various markets.
Yeah, so Simon, we're very excited about the future prospects of multicast channels, DigiNets. They're called by a lot of different names. You know, what we're really excited about is, as you correctly point out, you know, ATSC 3.0 is a technology that is very exciting. It's going to still take time for it to roll out because not only does the technology have to get fine-tuned, but then the sort of application in consumer homes, not too dissimilar to how SD to HD transition happened over a period of time, and then having the right boxes and converters. Because as you may recall, there were a lot of consumers that thought they had an HD set, but they didn't have the HD box to actually make it HD. And I think you're going to see that same sort of evolution with this technology. But having said that, already, even without this technology, we have seen a compound annual growth of free over-the-air broadcast television of around 8 to 10% over the last 4 to 5 years. As people cut their cord, and we're not actually advocating for anyone to cut the cord, but as that happens, because we love cable, but as that happens, what we're seeing is more and more people are discovering free over-the-air broadcast television. And what's also interesting, as these boxes, these Roku boxes and these Amazon Fire boxes and Chromecast, they are also promoting free over-the-air broadcast television as an option above and beyond being able to get television on different digital devices. And as that starts to happen, you're going to see a broader demographic start discovering free over-the-air broadcast television, and it's actually going to be a relatively growth area where everyone just sort of thought of broadcast television as an item on their sort of cable package, but actually you don't have to pay for that. It's actually free. And I think when people start seeing these with these skinny bundles along with broadcast networks, and its companion dot twos and threes and fours, you're going to see more and more distribution opportunities and growth across multiple demographics across a lot of different marketplaces. So we feel it's really just the denominator of people who are aware of getting broadcast television by themselves, along with maybe some other sort of OTT options and SVOD options. We feel like that number is going to grow from 10 to 15 to 20 to 25 million homes, and it's just going to increase the ability for viewers to actually discover these channels. And then when you factor in ATS 3.0, and then you're able to put more channels on, then it really becomes who has the better content, who is better marketing and branded, and where do viewers want to go? Because there'll be another sort of explosion of options, and really ultimately the viewer is going to be well served in this brave new world of digital technology. So we like the segment. We think the segment is very quietly growing. Doesn't quite get the PR or publicity with both trade media as well as with government. But what we like where we are, and that's why we're trying to build these really strong definable brands that we're creating at Cooper Media.
And those two definable brands are Justice Network and Quest. They're both available coast-to-coast on broadcast stations, digital subcarriers, and on cable systems. So check your local listings for where it's available in your area and how. And for more details about both networks, here's where you go online. For Justice Network, www.justicenetworktv.com. And for Quest, www.quest.com. JustinSeppertv.com. Again, www.JustinSeppertv.com and www.QuestTV.com. Both services owned by Cooper Media. Steve Schiffman, the chief executive of that company, thank you again for joining us. A pleasure. His wife is getting Quest off the ground to continue success with Justice. Who knows? Maybe network number three on the way soon. But, you know, anytime you want to come back, we'd love to have you back. It's been a pleasure.
Simon, thank you. I really enjoyed it, and it's good hearing your voice always.
Same here. You too, Steve. All the greatest. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Steve Schiffman, the chief executive of Cooper Media, joining us live from Washington, D.C. Now, before we go, time for our classic trivia question of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win The Showrunner, the wonderful book that's an insider's guide to successful TV production by former executive producer of Chips and Ironside, Cy Chermak, published by Jacoby Brown. Remember the show Wagon Train? One of NBC's longest-running shows ever, one of the longest-running Western series ever. Here's our question. Where did Wagon Train start its annual journey every season? Where did Wagon Train start its annual journey every season? We want either the city, the state, preferably both. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win The Showrunner by Cy Chermak. All you have to do to be involved, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your full mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win The Showrunner by Cy Chermak. We're looking for our third weekly winner in a row. We had last week's winners from Liverpool, New York. We had it before was from North Dakota. You can be the third if you act. Remember, you got to be in to win, so use that email address, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you missed the question just a moment ago, no problem. I'll post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter, UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So all the greatest, go for it. And thanks again to all of our guests for being here. Thanks to all of you for listening, including our new listeners joining us on Spreaker. If you came in late on today's program and want to catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And for the podcast version, once again, if you're on Spreaker, go to the Spreaker Podcast Radio app. If you have on iOS and Android devices, put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, click and you're in. Same thing for our iHeartRadio Podcast Network listeners, too, at iHeartRadio.com. Remember, on Friday, we're back at a special time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. That's our next Tomorrow We Televised episode. We love hearing from you. So we're thinking about today's program. What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Love to hear. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. We love hearing from you. I do respond to email within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters. Absolutely. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toad is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Enterprise are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, proud owner partner of the 2018 New York Television Festival this summer, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook and 30-day trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday and week. We are back with you Friday, special time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker.com. Whatever you're doing this just this day and beyond, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.